Hello, radio readers. You know, when HPPR wanted to explore a High Plains sense of place, I was a little skeptical. That our terrain and lives are different from, say, the East and West coasts seems fairly obvious, but are the High Plains all that different from the Midwest or the Southwest? I wondered what ideas about life on the High Plains, a novel about Eastern Colorado, a social history of the Comanche, and a memoir about growing up in the 60s and 70s in Amarillo and Austin could share. Well, true enough, Harif, Gwynn, and Caldwell remind us of the extremes of High Plains weather and the hardiness required of plants, animals, and people to live through it. We are reminded that no one can go it alone on the High Plains. We need families, communities, to endure climate and terrain. The landscape is panoramic. Any description of it necessarily includes its vast and isolating dimensions, demonstrated by a dearth of buildings and byways and the distances between our communities and cities. It's hours from Holt to Denver, from Amarillo to Austin, from Palo Duro to La Panne to Cache to Santa Fe, but as we know, the distance between our own hometowns and cultural centers like Denver, Lawrence, Austin is measured in more ways than mere miles. And sometimes there are great distances, emotional or political, say, within our own local communities and with our own families. All three books, I think, show that as well. These distances, physical and spiritual, maybe they're the source of restlessness. I notice that Harif, Gwynn, and Caldwell all portray a tension between staying or going, between planting our roots or roaming. In Empire of the Summer Moon, this tension plays out between the Texas settlers who themselves, having migrated from afar, aimed to cultivate crop and cattle, while the Comanche traveled millions of miles to trade, hunt buffalo, and stay ahead of weather. In Harif's Plainsong and Caldwell's Strong West Wind, we experience this tension as youthful restlessness. The young, teenagers, and college students, they yearn for whatever it is they don't find in their High Plains hometown, so very much like our pioneer and tribal ancestors, head out for elsewhere. In Denver or in Austin, the young in our books are unbound, free to experiment socially, chemically, intellectually, politically, for variety, for options. Yet these two, as we read in Plainsong and in A Strong West Wind, return, for a time, to families and traditional communities they'd once fled. They come back for a sense of belonging, some fixity of purpose and strength. From Harif's and Caldwell's accounts and my own experience, Denver and Austin are meccas of art and commerce, employment, education, offering myriads of ways to invent or reinvent oneself. Yet it seems most High Plains folk prefer not to live in a cultural mecca. What cultural meccas have to offer doesn't seem to be what most High Plains folk desire. What would it mean to our way of life if more of us did? What if our High Plains communities were less conventional, more pluralistic? Would returning High Plains expatriates someday come back and find that they like what they found? Or would they, like the Comanche to Palo Duro, despair to find nothing except the wind as it used to be? I know I'll continue to think, and I hope you will too, about Harif's Plainsong, Gwynn's Social History of the Comanche, and Caldwell's memoir, A Strong West Wind. And thanks for being a radio reader. For HPPR, this is Jane Huerta from Dodge City, Kansas.